Welcome inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios. Chris Meany and Ashley Docking here with you for FST as per usual here on this Tuesday afternoon. We are live from Toronto, and we're glad that you guys could join us here today. We have Nick Whalen joining us in a little bit. He's from RotoWire. We're talking some NBA, DFS, and then we're going to have Patrick Santangelo.
I just feel
like you have to say it that way.
Yeah, you should.
It's just more fun.
Yeah, Nando Dufino, friend of the network, may have heard of him. Chris Vaccaro, same thing. So we're going to dig deep into Patrick, to their boy Patrick.
Yes.
Big hockey
fan. We're doing some NHL DFS. And actually, the names that he gave us are pretty interesting. It's guys that we haven't talked about before, so I'm really excited to get his perspective on things.
Yeah, and guys that I know you were on Home Ice Advantage yesterday, a fantasy hockey show you can catch here on Mondays at 5 o'clock. But a couple guys that I mentioned were trending down that Patrick really liked. So I'm intrigued to hear his. And there's some fishy stuff going on in New York. Ranta, again, making his fourth straight start, and he's from New York, so we'll talk to him about that.
Sounds good. I'm really excited about it. But first, let's talk about Monday Night Football. I don't know if you were excited about that game.
Nope.
If you were a Baltimore Ravens fan, because although they have the number one defense in the league, Tom Brady's just Tom Brady, and he really distributed the ball, and there were a lot of players in his offensive arsenal that had really good games.
Yeah. I mean, this is no surprise to me. I had Tom Brady as my quarter QB1 this week, and you know what? I kind of took a little bit of flack from it in Pat Mayo Hour. I mean, he was from
shocking.
Jake and Pat. It was like outside the top 10. Like, they didn't like Brady because he was going up against Baltimore. And you mentioned the defense. Number one DVOA against the run. Number five DVOA against the pass. This is Tom Brady at home Monday night primetime. He had 406 yards. He threw three touchdowns. He had a pick in the red zone. He could have even had a better day. He hooked up with Hogan in the air deep. Mitchell had a touchdown. Bennett had a touchdown. White was catching balls in the backfield. He's really matchup proof. Besides next week in Denver, I think he could struggle. But again, if I was a Tom Brady owner, there's no way I'm benching this guy.
Especially
after the week that we just saw with quarterbacks, a lot of dud performances from a lot of big names. You got we mentioned yesterday, just briefly, Luck is in Minnesota, Breeze is in Arizona.
Big Ben is
in Cincy. It's a tough matchup inside the division. And so on the road, we saw what Ben did again on the road last Sunday. So there's a lot of tough matchups. I would play Brady. He's Tom Brady. He's good. And again, I was talking to the cameraman here, and I'm saying...
Camera two.
He's like, no way this
what
happened.
Up?
On ESPN, all the panels on Around the Horn are saying, before the game yesterday, clear cut, the Steelers are the best team in the AFC. The Pats lost at home to the Seahawks, and the Seahawks are awful now. All of a sudden, they can't play in Green Bay. They can't play on the road in Tampa. They put up 5 points. In Green Bay, they put up three. Listen, who do you think is the best team? Like, do you think the Steelers are better than the Pats? It's close.
Very close. I don't know. I think I would probably say the Patriots. Although
you'd give the edge to Tom Brady.
I would give the edge to Tom Brady, even though they are very, 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 very shallow in their receiving core. Depth has been trouble after Danny Amendola went out. Julian Edelman's there, but then you have Hogan. Then you have Mitchell leading the way. At one point during the game, I think it was in the first quarter, Hogan got injured. They hurt his hand, and the captain of the special teams had to go in. His name is Matthew Slater. He was going to play an offensive series for them in a three-receiver set. They're like, you know what? Let's not do that. Let's call a timeout. Hogan was okay. He went back in the lineup, but the problem is that if one person gets hurt, they're really slim already. And yes, Tom Brady can work some magic, and we've seen him do it before. Hello, Chris Hogan.
Yeah.
Hello, Malcolm Mitchell.
Sure.
We're seeing it right now, but that's going to be the problem. So I understand why people would have a lot more faith in the Steelers, just because they have that depth and they have studs at every position.
Yeah, I was not shocked. I was up like 61 points heading into my fantasy matchup last night, and the guy had Brady, Edelman, and Tucker, and I clearly lost, and I saw that coming. But the biggest takeaway actually for me from this game might be Kenneth Dixon. Because Terrence West it's always been like, can you start West or can you start Dixon? Like, which guy is it going to be? But Dixon was really good yesterday. He's got the Eagles next week. There you see the attempts, the yards.
8 for 42 through the air, one touchdown, 11 for 39 yards rushing.
Yeah, so that's just you see the attempts. I mean, two attempts for Terrence West, 11 for Dixon. The Pats have a decent red D, so give them a little bit of credit there. But Dixon against the Philadelphia Eagles next week is a terrific start. I put him as an RB2. He's a top 20 RB for me.
Okay, so going forward, if you're looking at the Pats backfield, though, so Blunt is obviously their number one. They have not wavered from him the entire season, even when
in a bad matchup, he was fine.
Lewis and White, they came back, and he was really, really good against Baltimore as well. So you have Lewis here, you have James White. Dan Lewis had three rush attempts, 14 yards. White was given two opportunities, had 3 yards, as you see here on the board. Chris, which one of these guys, just in terms of skill set, I'm not saying you're going to play one of them in your playoffs. That's probably not the best idea. I wouldn't even recommend it. in DFS, as a matter of fact. Yeah. But if you're looking ahead, who do you think has more of a long-term future here, some more potential between the two of them?
It's a good question. They're both very similar. I want to say Deion Lewis, but he's had like two or three significant knee injuries already in his career in like a 4 or 5 year span. But every week that I think it's going to be Lewis, it's White and it's vice versa. You can't trust these guys. You can't roll them out. Blunt is the guy. Each and every week, it's somebody else. Last week, it was just Lewis who was on the field in the fourth quarter when the game was tight.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, it's White. So it's tough for me to figure out. But I think Lewis has the most upside, the most potential. But you're right, Ashley. You can't start these guys. Oh, you just can't trust them.
And just fun fact, talking about the Pats receivers one more time, Edelman was out-snapped by both Hogan and Mitchell last game.
Oh, well.
So just keep an eye on it. And then quickly, we're going to just prattle through some injury updates before Chris gets to NBA DFS, because I know you want to talk about someone literally named DFS.
Yeah.
But first, Dante Moncrief, day-to-day with his hamstring injury, not necessarily someone you want to look towards the Colts taking on the Vikings this week.
Find a new option.
Melvin Gordon is week-to-week with his hip as well as knee sprain. So they're taking on the Raiders. It looks like he might not play. He's definitely questionable. Kenneth Farrell, who we talked about yesterday, is the option there. Ronnie Hillman taking away some pass-catching opportunities from him. And
Trust
then
Farrell.
I think Smallwood on the IR, Vance McDonald on the IR as well.
Sure. Philadelphia backfield is a mess. Even Ryan Matthews next week against Baltimore. We just talked about how they're number one DVOA against the run. You don't want to go down that trap with the Eagles. The only Eagles guy that I would play is Zach Ertz. We talked about him yesterday in touches and targets.
And then just quickly, AJ Green is listed as day
to
day.
Yeah,
he is expected to practice. He's listed as day to day. Tyler Boyd was better, more receptions than Brandon LaFell in the time that he was gone. So maybe if he comes back, though, pecking order changes and you go Green, Boyd, and then LaFell.
LaFalling
down.
Hey, good news, AJ Green. I think he actually might play this week against Pittsburgh. He could be limited, but this is good news. If you are an AJ Green owner, you can go ahead and just play him. If he does play, I would play him, even if he's going to be limited. He's got too much upside to sit down on their bench.
Tell me about your new favorite NBA DFS player. No, I want to skip
Dorian Finney-Smith, DFS is his initials. And maybe he's only a DFS guy, but he's getting some playing time. The Mavericks, we always talk about this, Ashley. We've talked about it a lot. You want to just target players on bad teams. The Mavericks are a bad team. I know they just won back-to-back games for the first time all season, but they are a bad team. They're struggling. Dirk is still weeks away.
Achilles.
Bogut is out.
JJ
Bray is coming back soon. You know what? This guy's playing. He's getting playing time. Three straight games with 30-plus minutes, averaging 12-7, 1.7 assists, 1.3 blocks, one steal, two threes a game. He's just getting opportunity. He shot the ball at least 8 times in the last 3 games, so he's just getting playing time. This is an undrafted guy that a lot of people think maybe could have been drafted. Certainly the Mavs organization thinks that he could have been taken in the first round now that people have seen him.
Yep.
NBA draft is sometimes pretty bleak, but he's somebody who can help you out right now. He's getting a lot of playing time.
And Rudy Gay is not. He left with a hip flexor injury against the Lakers. We'll touch on that quickly. And then with Matt Barnes being a healthy scratch because of his NYPD investigation, he's being accused of choking a woman in a nightclub. Lovely. It's going to be Omri Caspi who's getting the big uptick in minutes there.
Yeah, he is. He's, again, he's probably more of a DFS play, but if Rudy Gay was to miss extended period of time, you can go ahead and pick up Caspi. He can flirt with a double-double if he gets about 30 to 35 minutes, and that's what he's going to get if Gay misses time.
Giggity. We're going to talk to Nick Whalen from RotoWire after this. We'll see if he'll actually make that noise. Who was that? What's the character on Family Guy that does that? Quagmire?
Yeah.
There we go. Look at that. My one TV reference of my whole entire life. We'll be back on FST. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meaney and Ashley Docking here with you to help you, to guide you through your NBA DFS lineup selection today. There's 6 games on the hardwood, and to help us and to guide us, Nick Whalen from RotoWire is going to join us now. How's it going, sir?
It's going well. Thanks for having me back, guys.
Hey, anytime. I want to start with, of course, Russell Westbrook, OKC, Portland. It's the second highest total on the board. We have Golden State and the Pelicans at 223, 218 for Golden State or for OKC and Portland. Portland played last night. Russell Westbrook didn't get the triple-double streak. It finally came to an end. Victor Oladipo, though, I don't think he's going to play. He's dealing with a wrist injury. X-rays were negative. He didn't practice yesterday. If he doesn't play, do you think Russ does more, or do you think somebody else kind of steps up in that offense?
You know, it's hard to say. And right now, we should note that Oladipo hasn't been ruled out. But like you said, he didn't practice yesterday, which obviously doesn't bode well. Landed pretty hard on that wrist while defending a Jonas Derebko shot in that matchup with Boston. I mean, I don't know if it really matters at this point for Russell Westbrook, right? I mean, you know, obviously having Oladipo is a nice second option for OKC. But I think if you ask Russell Westbrook, you know, if he cares whether or not Oladipo's on the court or not, he would probably say it doesn't matter. The thing is, though, OKC doesn't necessarily have, you know, a secondary guy behind Oladipo that can play make. It's, you know, if Oladipo's out, does that mean we see, you know, more of a guy like Anthony Morrow, you know, more of a guy like Andre Roberson? Maybe, you know, those guys are more spot up shooters, you know, Roberson more of a defensive guy. So, you know, you do wonder, you don't want to read too much into things like this, but, you know, how many assists does Russell Westbrook maybe lose because, you know, he doesn't have Victor Oladipo on the court with him?
Well, does that make you want to play him more, though? Like, does that make you want to spend up for him as somebody who's just going to keep the ball in his hands even more and try to do more than what we're used to seeing from him? And how do you feel about Lillard off of back-to-back?
Yeah, I mean, with Westbrook, I think I probably, it's a little bit of a give and take. Yeah, I said, you know, maybe you think he loses an assist or two, but without Oladipo, maybe that means he takes four or five more shots than he already would have taken. But I mean, honestly, guys, with Westbrook, we're to the point where I don't even know if it matters who's out there with him. He's going to get his usage. He's going to have the ball in his hands, you know, when he's on the floor. Maybe it means he gets a few extra minutes, which is obviously good if you're a Russell Westbrook owner. But, you know, it's a little bit tough to read too far into anything, especially with Oladipo status still somewhat up in the air. As far as Lillard, you know, coming in on the back-to-back, especially playing late last night against the Clippers in what was a physical game, a game where Lillard played a ton of minutes, you know, I don't necessarily love him in this matchup. That said, you know, as good of a player as Russell Westbrook is on the offensive end and as great of a fantasy player as he is, the Thunder have been giving up a ton of points to opposing point guards. And Russell Westbrook isn't a great defender in the sense that he gambles a lot. He tends to lose focus at times. It's not necessarily an effort thing with Russell Westbrook. It's just that I think he expends so much energy on the offensive end. He spends so much time kind of gambling for steals that, you know, a player like Lillard could easily get hot if he has Westbrook chasing him around for a lot of the night.
Yeah, Westbrook's going to be a busy guy. I think everyone knows, including him, that OKC's success is dependent on his success. Let's talk about the other game that Chris mentioned with the highest total on the board tonight, Golden State taking on Anthony Davis. That's pretty, you know, Tim Frazier's been really good for them as well. Yeah. He just had a triple-double, I believe, the other night. But Davis, on a November 7th, playing the Golden State Warriors last time, 33 points, 13 rebounds, 10 made free throws in 35 minutes. We've heard the narrative again and again that Golden State really was hurt by the fact that Andrew Bogut left town. Do you think that this is a day for Davis? Or if you're looking at the power forward center position, Karl-Anthony Towns in action tonight, Gasol, Kevin Love, Draymond Green, kind of where do you stand on that?
I mean, I really like all those guys. It's hard to make an argument against really any of them, but I still like Davis. I mean, the big concern here, obviously, is the blowout. You know, the fact that this game has the highest over-under of, what was it, 226, I think. Like, I mean, 140 of those might come from Golden State. And the thing is, though, you know, for the Pelicans to stay in this game, they need Davis to be vintage Davis. And more often than not this season, he's been exactly that. And like you said, you know, even if it is a blowout situation and he only plays 30, 35 minutes, you know, that still probably means he's giving you 30 and 10 with a few blocks and a few assists. So, you know, Davis at this point is virtually matchup proof. Draymond Green is a tough defender against anyone, of course. But, you know, Davis has a good 5-6 inches on a guy like Draymond Green. And while Green is maybe a little more physical, I think Davis's height and Davis's athleticism do give him an advantage there. So not too worried about him, but I'm certainly not going to tell you to stay away from Towns or Kevin Love.
Over under 1.5 kicks tonight for Green on his stat line.
Gotta go over, right?
Always the over.
Way over.
Man, if he kicks Anthony Davis.
That's a generous line.
If he kicks Anthony Davis, I'll just be more impressed with his yoga instructor, I think, for getting him all stretched out.
I don't want to spend too much time on this game, but who's the one Warrior that you feel is just like, that you kind of want to stay away from this season, that you're not playing as much in DFS? Is it Draymond Green? At first I thought it was Clay, but I think like watching them, I think it's Draymond Green. I say he still gets his, touches all categories, still kind of flirts with triple-doubles, but he doesn't take as many shots.
Right. Yeah, I think it's Draymond. You know, like you said, the rebounds have been fine. The assist numbers are up. I think he's on course to be the defensive player of the year finally after finishing second the last 2 years. But, you know, that doesn't necessarily matter from a fantasy perspective. The fact that he's not taking as many shots is an issue. I mean, for him, it doesn't seem to be too much of a problem. You know, he's still doing mostly Draymond Green things, and, you know, being a primary scorer has never really been his MO. The other guy to me is Curry, and you're not staying away from Curry by any means because he's still an elite, elite option, but his scoring is down a little bit. His assist numbers are down a little bit. And again, like Draymond, he seems fine with that. I mean, he seems like he's having more fun than ever watching Kevin Durant, you know, kind of take over as their number one offensive option. Curry's got his MVPs. He's got his title. I think he's more than happy to sit back and focusing on, you know, on keeping up the winning, I guess, as opposed to being the best fantasy player or adding another MVP.
Absolutely. The Timberwolves are taking on the Bulls, and you talked about Karl Anthony Towns. He's obviously an elite option. The Bulls give up the eighth most fantasy points to center, but on a broader scale, I'm kind of interested in your take in the Timberwolves because we've seen them this season start off really, really strong, and they have Ricky Rubio, Chris Dunn at the point guard position. Zach LaVine's really blossomed this season. Andrew Wiggins is obviously a great, great player. Karl Anthony Towns. So it's just like, what do you think that this team is lacking or needs to kind of take that next step, or is it just youth and they just need time?
Yeah, that's the big question, right? Is you can look into the numbers, and the big thing that stands out is, like you said, this team starts really well, and then they completely collapse at the beginning of the second half. You know, you can see their, you know, the time that they lead, I guess, in games is so heavily weighted in the first half, and just completely falls off a cliff in the third quarter. And what's interesting is they're not using a new lineup. You know, they don't come out of the locker room with a different five than they started the game with. There's just something that happens at halftime where this core just can't keep it up. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, a few games into the year already, we started hearing some rumblings that Tibbs maybe wanted to add a veteran, you know, somebody he's familiar with, a Luol Deng type of guy. And, you know, with Deng getting the ridiculous contract that he did from the Lakers, he's maybe not all that realistic. But it sounds like, you know, it's just an issue of this team struggling to adapt. You know, going from the Sam Mitchell system to the Tibbs system is about as big of a culture shock as there is. And, you know, the Timberwolves have kind of made a lot of people, including myself, look stupid for anointing them as, you know, maybe a top five or six team in the West when, you know, this team is worse at this point now, noticeably worse than they were record-wise last season. So, you know, the silver lining is they're still in a great position. You know, there are probably only three or four teams in the whole league who would, you know, swap rosters or wouldn't swap rosters, I should say, with the Minnesota Timberwolves long-term. And the other thing is, you know, even if this is a year where they're not able to turn things around, we're looking at maybe the deepest, you know, NBA draft class in probably at least a decade, and it's not a draft where you need to necessarily get a top five pick to land a potential, you know, star or even superstar. So, you know, Minnesota has some time. It's still early in the season. Even if they're unable to make the playoffs, at worst, they just add another really high upside asset to what's already a great, strong core.
Yeah, I think they're heading in the right direction. It doesn't look great on the court sometimes, but they got some nice, young, exciting players. Nick, let's get you out of here on this. The Cavs and the Grizzlies. So much about DFS is always targeting bad teams and guys who were hurt, guys who are resting. This is the Grizzlies team. Now we've seen that for, you know, not just this season, last season as well. Do you think this game is going to be a blowout? Are you kind of, you touch on Kevin Love. Do you think maybe you're going to shy away from some Cavs? And what about Zach Randolph, this guy who's not getting a lot of playing time right now, but only playing 17, 20 minutes, but kind of flirting with double-doubles? Could he be somebody that you can look at tonight?
Yeah, for sure. I think Marc Gasol's sitting out this one to rest. Obviously, Mike Conley is still out for Memphis. This is one of those games where I think Cleveland's favored by something like 15. And, it, you know, on paper, it should be a blowout. But this is a Cavs team that in years past, not quite so much this year, just because of how much, you know, this team has grown. But in years past, this is a game that would be, you know, somewhat of a trap game for Cleveland because, you know, they have some guys who can kind of tend to relax in certain matchups and take it easy. LeBron is maybe somebody I would stay away from tonight just because if this one goes as expected, you know, the Cavs could be up 20 at halftime, and this would be a great opportunity to get LeBron some rest. You know, every year you hear whoever the coach is for the Cavs, you know, this time last year it was It was David Blatt, and we heard it, you know, back in September from Tyronn Lue. You know, we're going to limit LeBron's minutes. We're going to keep him in the low 30s. Lo and behold, he's right where he usually is, in the mid to high 30s. And I think eventually they want to curtail that. But a guy like Kevin Love, you know, someone they're still trying to get a lot of touches. They're still trying to make him as much of a primary option as they can alongside LeBron and alongside Kyrie. These are the type of nights where you could just see LeBron taking a back seat, and you could see them force feeding Kevin Love. And, you know, that's really worked for the Cavaliers thus far this season, much more than it has the last 2 years.
I think the funny thing about the Cavs is that this is one team where, like, no bench. Yeah. I never want any of the bench from the Cavs. I just want all of the starters. And Nick, we got to get out of here, but we thank you so, so much for coming on the show and for your information. It's very enlightening as always.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
Enjoy the basketball.
Take care. Yeah, I was like, the only option off the bench is like Shumpert, who's going to play 20 minutes, and he's like 10 points, 2 boards. That's it. Nope. Don't do it. Don't do it. But what we are going to do is we're going to get out of here, we're going to reset, and then we're going to do some NHL DFS on FST after the break. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today, NHL DFS time, and to give us some information and his take on some stuff, we're going to welcome in Patrick Santangelo right now. And by some stuff, I mean your hometown team, the New York Rangers. Hi, Patrick. How are you?
Hi, Ashley. How's it going?
Very well. Thank you. Let's just jump right in. Chris Kreider is kind of an interesting case. He has been very, very good for the Rangers this year, as a lot of their offensive weapons have been. But what's your take on him going forward for the rest of the season, and most importantly tonight for DFS purposes?
Friday tonight at home versus the Blackhawks. I know last Friday they had a 1-0 overtime game. Exciting, but not so great at a fantasy standpoint. I don't see that tonight.
No?
I'm not seeing that. Kreider's got 7 points in his last 6 games and 20 points out of 24 games played overall this season. I see more of a trend here. The Rangers have the 5th best power play in the league right now, and the Blackhawks are dead last in penalty kill. Look for Kreider in front of the net tonight, putting in some work, making things happen on the power play, filling the net like he's been doing most of the season so far for the Rangers.
Patrick, what's going on in New York? Henrik Lundqvist is not getting the start again tonight. It's Antti Raanta. Are you going to continue to ride this guy? He's got back-to-back games with a shutout. Are you going to play him? Jonathan Toews expected to play tonight for the Hawks. Are you going to ride Raanta, or is there another goal you're looking at?
You gotta, I mean, love playing Raanta, don't get me wrong. Love seeing how that's working. It's working out very well. Ride the hot hand in New York for sure. But for fantasy standpoint, I'm looking at Cam Ward tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So up against the Canucks. Canucks on the 5th game of an 8-night East Coast road trip. You got to think the guys are ready to go home. Closer to the holidays. They've had enough of this East Coast stuff. Ward's been great at home. He's got a 1.6 goals against since November 12th, which is pretty stellar, as everybody should understand.
Yeah.
So I look for Cam Ward. I'm looking at Cam Ward tonight as a goalie standpoint. And Vegas has Carolina as 2-1 favorites. So they usually know what they're talking about. Look for Carolina with a W and Cam Ward. Have a nice game.
Yeah, and Vancouver just struggling to score goals.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. Cam Ward signed to a new contract, and Ron Francis looking pretty smart right about now.
Ward's
for that.
Been really good. Pick him up in fantasy hockey. He's been good.
What about some defensive plays? We have about 30 seconds or so, but we'd love to hear your take on where you're going defensive-wise tonight.
Tonight, quick value pick, Matt Dumba. Not usually a fantasy name, but he's got 3 points in his last 4, and he's getting a lot more power play minutes. So get a little value out of Matt Dumba tonight against the Panthers, who are in real duress after this Gerard Gallant situation and whatnot. So slide Matt Dumba into that lineup. And also, heading back to Carolina, Justin Falk. I know, real slow start. He was pointless in 12 games straight, but he's got 2 in the last 3, and he's getting a ton of ice time. He's playing 23 minutes a night, so Bill Peters isn't really showing any leery in getting him his opportunities. So look for him to start really turning that season around and going forward and in tonight against Vancouver, as we already discussed.
Patrick, I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us. Good luck to your Rangers tonight, and enjoy the hockey, man.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Bye. Talk to you later.
Good stuff right there. I like Justin Falk as like a great buy-low candidate, and I know Patrick really liked Evgeny Kuznetsov too, another guy who's a great buy-low candidate. Good luck on the ice tonight.
Bye.